In the New Testament, the primary purpose of the prophetic is edification, that's to build up, exhortation, that is to stir up and inspire, and consolation to soothe. That's 1 Corinthians 14:3. If there's a personal word for you, I'll ask your name and prepare to be encouraged. I'm not going to underscore anybody's secret struggles, particular hang-ups. Hey, we're all a work in progress, and we're getting worked through those things and getting those things worked out. Got to underscore the good things that God has done and is doing in you to further encourage those into demonstration. Concerning coming into the presence of God, David said, early in the morning will I seek thee. An old Montana cowboy would put that like this. Another brisk Montana morning, golden glimmer has me blinking. Rising now, I hear me creaking. Down the hall I toil. To the place I meet with Jesus, feed the empty stove and armload. Soon the room is bright with warm glow. Coffee pot is dancing to a boil. Divine appointment, his name is just like ointment. Rubs it into my needy soul, I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Inner fire is rising as he stokes it with his rod. Out my window there I gaze, scan the morning's golden haze. Two deer bolt across the yard, the Lord renews my youth. My spirit leaps and runs with Jesus through the meadows of his kingdom. Brightness of his fragrant freedom, grazing on the greatness of his truth. Divine appointment, his name is just like ointment. Rubs it into my needy soul, I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Inner fire is rising as he stokes it with his rod. Beside myself with holy joy, hey, I'm dancing like a little boy. High-stepping through that room, gliding in his peace, arthritis be gone. Safety in the arms of his grace, kingdom love has filled the place. Laughing in his presence now, laughing yet with sweet tears of release. Divine appointment, his name is just like ointment. Rubs it into my needy soul, I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Inner fire is rising as he stokes it with his rod. Inner fire is rising as he stokes it with his rod. Knowing him in greater intimacy and making him known in heightened effectiveness. That's our calling. It's also our equipping. I was considering a verse last night, the book of Philemon. It's a short little book. It's only one chapter, but it's Philemon 6. Paul's prayer for Philemon, his wife, and the church that meets in his home is that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in God. And some of us can get to be rather twisted experts on our flesh factors. In our flesh dwells no good thing. And the next thing you know, we've got a fleshlight and we're shining it around in our inner flesh, and it turns out to be a garbage expedition. We've got a flesh to deal with, no mistake about it. But we deal with it not by trying to wrestle it into submission, because God didn't come to rehabilitate our flesh, but he gave us the cross that as we yield to the Spirit, crosses out the flesh as we yield to the Spirit and respond to and rely on the Spirit of God. Walk after the Spirit, and you'll not satisfy the desires of the flesh. And one way to walk after the Spirit is to recognize, underscore, the good things that are in us in Christ. It becomes a revelation, God shows us as we seek Him, of the good things on deposit by God's grace that we have in Christ. And as we ponder it in meditation, it becomes an operation, and we find we begin to apply it in our lives, and we walk in accord with it. One thing that's in us by virtue of the grace of God is righteousness. His righteousness, not our own. Thank God we're not relegated to religious performance in relying on our own ability to somehow manufacture right being, right thinking, right doing. That's a vain way of life. And the blood of Jesus has come between us and that. And we begin to ponder the grace of His righteousness as a gift. We consider His righteousness, and it becomes rooted in our heart. And you know, that revelation becomes an operation, and we say, Lord, I'm getting sick and tired of being trudging through the clay and the mire of trying to manufacture my own righteousness in order to procure Your acceptance. So I just, in humble childlike gratitude, embrace the grace of Your righteousness as a gift that was imputed to me at the time I first believed in the resurrection of Jesus. And the next thing, that becomes the power of righteousness that empowers us into righteous living. Righteousness as a gift, resident in us through His grace, and that grace we embrace, and it's translated into empowerment for righteous living. God's grace is His unmerited favor, but His favor for what? It is His ability, not our own, His ability unto illumination. We see things that our little peanut brain can't figure out with the eyes of our heart. Revelatory grace. It is grace that delivers us from sin and all of its effects of oppression, depression, poverty, and disease. It is the grace of empowerment that empowers us to live victoriously in the midst of adversity, the power to serve Him and live on a plane above the gravity of this world. We learn to relax in His righteousness that defies the law of sin. It's like being strapped into a big old Boeing 777 that rises and defies the law of gravity. I can remember of taking trips out of LA back in the day when we traveled out of there and looking down and seeing all that mucky, purplish, grayish haze and think, I don't have to gag on that. I can live above it in this nice wild blue yonder of fleecy clouds and get the aerial view. And yeah, we sin. We're capable of sin. We can begin to trust our own flesh and trust our own ability. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves in the contamination of it. But once we know Jesus, there's never any condemnation of it. We can be quick to repent and be renewed to walk in the light that's heaven sent. And He washes the scuzz off of our feet by His mercy that's so sweet. And we're renewed to walk in the light of who He is, which is pure love. And we see who we are as brand new in Christ. We have His power resident within us. Ephesians 3 talks about what is the exceeding greatness of His power that works in us and for us, the power that raised Christ from the dead, and we begin to get a working revelation of that. We're joint heirs with Him, and in Christ we have an inheritance in common with him. What's that inheritance? It's intimacy and oneness with God the Father. It's identity of being sons and daughters. We're cherished by him. It is the authority to tread upon serpents and all the works of the devil. And it is the destiny of a hope and a future of being transformed from glory to glory and finding out our designated job description and getting a piece of the action of establishing the kingdom here on earth. That's our inheritance, folks. And we need to often rehearse and underscore those things. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves released into the very life flow of Jesus with the ability to communicate him through our lives and lips and attitude and action. The revelation of God that releases us into the communication for the praise of his glory. It's so important to come apart and with fresh eyes of our heart have those open to the good things that he's placed in us. We are thereby empowered and energized, and the gravity of the world, the flesh, and the devil are defied. Now we're going to kind of come along and move in song, and I'm going to underscore the good things that the Lord's placed in you. Even as we sing songs to the praise of his glory. And if you're here this evening and you feel quite a bit less than victorious, and maybe it's a dark night of the soul. Hey, been there, done that. But the Lord was there with me and for me and turned it around. He works the night shifts. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. And the darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile, in the dark I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Your blessed balm flows as billows of calm o'er my soul. You light the fire of your spirit that drives out the cold. Renewing rivers flow through my embattled mind, waking the ears of my heart, waking to find. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. And the darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile, in the dark I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. The sound of children doesn't distract me a bit, by the way. Meanwhile, with a smile, in the dark I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Sweet song, and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Now, some of your names I remember, and some of your names I've forgotten in meeting you on the way in, and some of them I have yet to know, and I'll ask your name, and I think technology has afforded this is being recorded. Is that correct, Chad? And test these things. You should test anything that's prophetically packaged. Run it by the revelator, lay it alongside the statement of Scripture, and let the Spirit bear witness to it as you hear it. Once again, it's for edification, to build up, exhortation, to stir up and inspire, and consolation to soothe. We'll kind of do something on the family plan here. I met Nova at the beginning as she stepped up and boldly introduced herself. Very mellow and relaxed now, but you're a live wire. A bundle of energy. And sometime the prophetic word, think it not absurd, can be sung as there's a song in your heart. And you love to sing. Nova, the Lord has anointed and appointed you to be his witness. in boldness. You'll speak to folks, and they'll be brought into wholeness and healing from the enemy's raw dealing. And you'll have a wisdom beyond your years. You'll say some astounding things that will confound the wise who thought they were wise, and hear the wisdom of the Lord coming through you. And this man you're leaning on, Nova, is?
Billy.
Billy is a gifted exhorter. There's authority. Ah, you're not a rip snorter, but you speak with authority. And it stirs and inspires folks in the arena of battle. And so it's been, and so it'll be continually. And the Lord underscores this good thing, this gift he's developing in you. Next to Billy is Amanda. Artistic, the soaring soul of a creative eye. You got a flair for the dramatic. Contagious excitement that ignites folks with the delight of the Lord. What's your name, my brother?
Christian.
Christian, a lover of the word of truth. One who prospects by the stream and discovers nuggets to share. And the next thing you know, the Son of Glory's radiance pierces the air, and he shines on that gold from the stream in your hand you hold. And sometimes the nuggets, the substance thereof, are words of encouraging love. But other times, they're words that make you sing like David, and they become projectiles in the sling that levels the giants. What's your name? Barrett?
Aaron.
Swift to uplift and to be a supporter, a pillar in the house of the Lord to be leaned on, but sometime like a cushion of velvet love. The ability to look and see the potential in folks and to see something of what they're made of by God's grace.
Amen.
What is your name?
Serenity.
Serenity, sweetness, speaks the peace of God, the serenity of God to others. Going to come into an encounter with the Holy Spirit that's going to be dramatically overflowing.
Amen.
And the gifts of the Word and the Lord will flow in manifold measure through you. Gift of prophecy in particular. What is your name?
Zephon.
What again?
Zephon.
Zephon, a prophetic voice, coming into prophetic sensitivity and sensibility in the Lord, able to speak with the voice of a trumpeter that causes the troops of God to rally around the banner of God that's being thrust up. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will drive that satanic tsunami backwards.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is your name right here?
Leslie.
Leslie, very solid in your understanding, good listener. Able to know when to inject encouragement into people's hearts and into their minds. And people feel they can be transparent and be open before you. They don't feel like they gotta hide behind a mask, because they know you love them as is, and you know where they're at, even if they happen to be on Jacob's wrestling mat, and the wrestling mellows into an embrace of his grace as they see the love of God in and through you. God underscoring the good things that he's planted in you to be energized and strengthened in your communication through your lives and lips of who he is. And we would do well to often journal and write those things. Another good thing you have in you is the mind of Christ. We who are spiritual, relying on the Spirit, According to 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, we have the mind of Christ, his mind and manners. But it's also a humble, yielded mind of servanthood. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And from Philippians 2, being in the form of God, thought not equality of God was a thing to be grasped and retained, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and in his humble walk, he perfectly replicated the Father while exemplifying what it's like for a human being to be in total trust on the Holy Spirit and what God is able to accomplish from them. He modeled the majesty of the Father and at the same time exemplified what it was for a man or a woman to walk moment by moment in accord with the Spirit, capable of power and purity and wisdom. Hallelujah. And he who exemplified those things perfectly, he who was our example, also becomes our enabler as we walk with him in agreement in his yoke. We take his yoke upon us. We come apart from the box of secularity that says the supernatural is impossible. Jesus had scathing rebuke for those cities, but we come out of the religious box that tries to box it up into systematics. And we come into his yoke and learn to catch the rhythms of his grace. The yoke speaks of agreement, connectedness, movement, and service. And we learn God's heart toward people. Wrote a song about it some time back. Child of the morning, sing your song. Lift up your eyes, behold the dawn. Let every fiber of your being be refreshed in his presence. Child of the morning, sing your song. His arm, the yoke, around your shoulder, his arm, the yoke. Bow down your heart, and life begins. Lay down your life, and men will see a servant, and your Lord will see a friend. Child of the morning, sing your song. Let your spirit rise above the throng. And let your lips of praise savor richly now the taste of new wine. Child of the morning, sing your song. His arm, the yoke around your shoulder. Bow down your heart and life begins. Lay down your life and men will see a servant and your Lord will see a friend. Lay down your life, and men will see a servant, but your Lord will see a friend. I remember back in my university days, where I came to know the Lord Jesus on a very secular campus, yet through Campus Crusade for Christ, we used to sit around talking, you know, how can we know the Lord's will? You know, it creates a climate of sensitivity to his will when we learn to thank him in the midst of all things, not necessarily for all things, but thank him in all things. For this is the will of God concerning you, and it begins to establish a climate where we'll recognize opportunities of his leading that we wouldn't otherwise. It kind of clears out the smoke screen of Satan. He chokes on Thanksgiving. I can remember a time it was a turning point in our lives. Back in 1990, when we were being transferred from pastoral ministry, which we'd been in for 20 years, into itinerant ministry. And you know, when there's a bend in the river, it can be rather turbulent, a change in direction. And I can remember of just feeling up to our earlobes in debt, which we were, sensing our children going through mammoth insecurities on the age that we're at, taxation on our marriage, the enemy trying to put a wedge between us. And I remember the Lord calling me apart and says, I want you to write a song thanking me for my ability to turn things around, to calm your inner turbulence first and foremost, then calm the turbulence on the sea, the storminess around you, in which case I will part the raging waters and bring you into the Canaan of new beginnings of ministry. That was his promise. But he reminded me of David, wrote some of his top hits in a cave. They probably started off kind of bluesy. He would start off as a lament, but then he would add the holy but. That's but God, who is rich in mercy and all surpassing in power, is going to turn this thing around for me. And I'll walk in the land of the living. This was a song I wrote to you, and I'd like to dedicate it to you. If you find yourself in a sea of adversity, and knowing as you thank God for just being himself, and thank he can creatively use things that he never caused to bring us into the next phase. Starts off kind of bluesy. Facing my days, surrounded by the blues, I know for certain I'm not gonna lose. Sooner or later, Jesus turns it around for me. On to getting where I'm going, I gotta walk through some rain. I know the sun is gonna shine bright again. Sooner or later, he's gonna turn it around for me, and I believe it's gonna be soon. Here in the furnace, he's burning my bonds away. Iron is forming in my soul, turning into gold, brighter and purer day by day. Faith comes by hearing. I hear his word and my faith rises high. Got that aerial view, I see deep and wide. Sooner or later, he turns it around for me. Oh, and I believe it's gonna be soon. Here in the furnace, he's burning my bonds away. It's kind of like yodeling. Iron is forming in my soul, turning into gold. I learned that from Barry McGuire. Brighter and purer day by day. This chapter will end, but not the book. Soon I'm going to take a blessed backward look as I sweetly remember how he turned it around for me. Sweetly remember how he turned it around for me. Learned that vocal bend hanging out with the brothers when I was back in the Army, and we'd kick back with guitars and kind of vamp around in the blues. Hallelujah. You learn something from different cultures, don't you? And each of them brings something to the table. What's your name?
Heather.
Heather? Now the blues ain't gonna get the best of Heather. She's hanging on to the Lord, and once more he's hanging on to her. And it might be some pretty stormy weather. And although you've given it all you got and you've been through a lot, his grace does things that you could never do from yourself. And you're spring-loaded, Heather. You are tenacious and determined, and where men have kicked you in the heart and left you torn apart, the man Christ Jesus is the bridegroom of which you rely. And he cherishes you and introduces you to his daddy, who's your daddy too. And as you can see, he bounces you on his knee, gonna change your world and let you know that through Jesus Christ, you're a daddy's girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, glory. What's your name?
Shelby.
Shelby, you want to do big things for God, for his glory. He's going to give you a supernatural gift of faith to believe him for the impossible. He's going to give you dreams in the night. And you're going to see him produce and direct, kind of like Holy Spirit movies in the night. What's your name? Anna, the ability to be a friend to folks that are going through things. The ability to encourage them and see their wings mended. Sitting next to Anna is? You said Selena? Where the rug was just ripped out from under you and it was a tough landing. But you know, you just bounce right back. And when the enemy tried to disrupt your home, the Lord was there to make himself known as your best friend. You're going to come into an empowerment of things that you have to say. You're going to prophesy with might and power. The devil's going to hate the things you say because he's going to think there's nothing meaner than Selena, but the Lord loves to hear you speak, and his people love to hear from you. He would say, nothing could be meaner when I'm listening to Selena when she prophesies. Hallelujah. That's his rotten song, and you'll silence it in a hurry. You know, the Lord has placed faith inside us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And it's the very faith of Jesus. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. When we first heard the gospel, it's like ears were opened up on the inside and we had a capability to hear spiritual realities like we couldn't hear with natural faith. Oh, we could reject the opportunity to believe, but we chose to believe and the Lord dealt with us to us the measure of faith and begin to feed that as we got into his word and begin to hear him. And the next thing you know, we found we had the capability to believe and receive in ways we couldn't before. That's why it's so important to inhale the breath of scripture and let him take what's printed on the page and translate it into his voice. We live by faith. We came alive by faith at the time of regeneration, and nothing's changed in our walk, as according to Colossians 2:6, as you've received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Be illumined, provided for, and empowered by grace. We can even face an addictive bummer, and the Lord loves it through us, begins to see us eyes to be free. And he teaches us to yield on the overcomer. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves able to live beyond that corrupt compulsion. I've heard that testimony from so many people. And there's no shame and the affliction of addiction in God's eyes. He loves you, wants to see it through it. And the worst thing we can do is run from the one who has the ability to deliver us. Amen. He wants us to run to him. Amen. And sometimes it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, and we may fall off the wagon a time or two. But just like Peter was lifted from the waves, there's that strong right arm with a nail-pierced hand to lift you up again and see you through. The Lord's placed his love within us, the ability to know that we are loved and that we can value people. Sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of your love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. You watch my love grow as a child, sometimes gentle, sometimes wild. Sometimes you just take my breath away. And it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news. Lord, you take my breath away. And it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you take my breath away. What is your name right here?
Kira.
Kira.
Yeah.
Able to relate to a wide number of people. Highly imaginative. You're a dreamer. And that's good. And it's good that you hang out with other dreamers. Otherwise, people try to pour cold water on your inner fire. That's not good. You've had the anger of another that's attacked you. But the Lord has been there to bolster you and strengthen you in the midst of it, and he'll continue to and bring you through this season. It seems to have no rhyme or reason. Now, Kira, if she bows her heart before the Lord does hear her and hold her nearer and dearer and begin to lift you up on the eagle wings of his song, which is your song too. He loves to hear you sing along his song through you. What's your name?
Earlene.
Those that you intercede for, the Lord does hear you as you pray. In fact, Jesus intercedes for them too, and you just lend your voice in concert as he prays with and through and for you. Often you'll just pray in the Spirit and not know what you're saying, but the Lord will know, and he knows where it's directed. And in you, the prayer of intercession is being perfected. Hallelujah. Brother, what's your name?
Wayne.
Wayne, are you a veteran? Thank you for your service.
Amen.
I'm a veteran too. When were you in?
Army.
And what years? Oh, early on. I was in 66 through 67, or 65 through 67. Where were you stationed?
Germany and Vietnam.
Oh, my goodness. Right there on the early part of that. How long were you in? Practically a career man. Some of my best friends went to Nam. I was stationed in South Korea for that time and heard the call of the Lord on my life of what I'm doing today. I thought I was going to theological seminary, and Uncle Sam had other ideas and sent me one of his little love letters in the mail. Wayne, the Lord was there to preserve you. A lot of times, it's no joke, you could have croaked. But what the Lord was there to see you through because he had a plan for you. A seasoned warrior in the spirit now and able to speak with kind of a seasoned wisdom of years to the younger generation that listened to you. And there'll be more and more that listen to you. And also to your peers. And brother, what's your name?
Delbert.
You said Bill?
Delbert.
Thank you for your service, Del. Navy, what years?
61.
Starting in 61?
And Cuba blockade.
Oh, my goodness, that's a bit of history. During the Kennedy years. What's your first name, brother?
Arthur.
And you were in which branch?
Army.
Stationed where?
Europe.
You know, I was semi-fluent in German, but they sent me to South Korea anyway. I was trained as a combat engineer at Fort Leonard Wood, but they just put me where they needed bodies, and so... Hey, God was in charge. Marvelous ministry of authenticity, of friendship, and an ability to encourage one another. And because of that encouraging exchange, you're able to encourage your other sisters and brothers. A marvelous ministry of encouragement in stereo. Kind of like bookends that close in on the situation, you know. Lots of stories you have as you're kind of kicked back and thinking of the goodness and the preservation of the Lord. And lots of glory stories. Now, Brother Chad, he's there with a servant's heart to do whatever needs to be done. Sometimes it may not be too much fun, but you do it anyway. Chad is always in motion. He's not a hanging Chad. Like those days of yesterday. Sitting next to Chad is? What again?
Andy.
Andy's authentic. It's got to be the real deal or he's not going to buy into it. He doesn't go stampeding like a herd of same-o, lame-o. He marches to a different drummer, but he's learned to find the rhythms of God's grace for you. He's going to give you family where there seemed to be no family at a time. And once you wrap your heart around the sight of something, it's like the jaws of a bulldog. What's your name, my brother?
Zach.
Zach, quiet and contemplative, but when he speaks, God gives you something, and folks listen. He's going to give you nuggets and drop those nuggets into your heart, as in the communication of the King. You've got a part. What's your name?
Shaney.
Gift of mercy. You overflow in mercy to those that really need a love touch of healing love to the Lord. Seating next to Taney is?
Jaylene.
Spirit of adventure. Prophetic evangelism will be your portion. You'll be talking to, at times, complete strangers that look kind of peripheral, but you can sense their closeness to God, they're true seekers. You'll be bold, but you'll be kind. Sitting next to you is? Shane, a visionary. You see visions with the eyes of your heart. The Lord will open it, remove the veil, and you will see into spiritual realities, visions. That's when the Lord opens up our inner eyes to see betweens of the lines of the natural and beyond its borders. Sitting right up here is
Andrew,
going through a difficult time. It's a difficult storm, but the Lord is there to keep you along and to preserve you. And he sees you as a man of integrity and faithfulness. You may feel like you've wavered from time to time, but say we all do in those situations. There's a stability and an ability to trust in God's ability that's being cultivated in you. Sitting next to you is
Leela,
a marvelous encourager. The ability, after someone has been beat up, hung out to dry, you're there with words that the enemy's devices are defied. Seated right down from you is
Karen.
Miss Congeniality. A friendly kind of reality. Folks don't feel shunned by the things you say. They don't feel stunned because they're wrapped in warmth. Karen is delighted to be sharing in the grace and mercy of the Lord. And at times in the face of the enemy, you weld the spirit's sword and see him flee. You're an anointed nurse on the battlefield, but you're a warrior too. Seated back here in the red t-shirt is
Paul.
Solid kind of guy. You can take his word to the bank, and on it you can rely. Dedicated dad. Where the enemy has tried to torpedo your family ship, the Lord was there to keep you in the palm of his hand and cause you in strength to stand and come through the waters, saying, "Praise the Lord." Seated next to you is
who?
Mauricia? Ah. Artistic. You like to draw. You like to dream. A heart for people. Underscoring the good things in you that the Lord has placed and planted in you. And as you meditate on the recordings, just kind of camp around those things, and some of them have been more general. The love of the Lord planted in you. What's your first name, my sister? Yeah.
Jeannie.
With the light red hair. Dedicated mom. Highly dedicated to prayer. Who's this little one here?
Rosetta.
Lord, we just speak a setting into place and a departure of inflammation from her little spine. That those discs are going to be properly aligned. You made her, and now we just see the release of your hand to put those things back into place by the power of your healing grace. Let me stop right now with a word of knowledge. Any folks here, I've just had a recent healing in my shoulder, left shoulder to be specific. In fact, I've had two healings. One from arterial fibrillation, and I was diagnosed with that with a doc. The EKG went back 3 months later, and it was healed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I had been speaking to my blood pressure and commanded it to go down, and it's doing it.
Amen.
Doing it in light of the finished work of Jesus, who says, "By his stripes we're healed." It's already been done. We're lassoing it with the lariat of faith at the point of our need. Anyone with arthritis or bursitis, any kind of pain in your shoulder, that you've had that. In fact, let's all just lift our hands to the healer right now. And if you've had any difficulty or pain, now just, I just speak healing to that, the Lord's healing shoulders. Just begin to move those kind of circulature, lift them in a way that you couldn't before if you've had that. If that's been your particular malady, don't let me speak anything onto you that you don't have. If there's bone spurs grating on one another, we just command those to leave in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you're feeling pain depart, just do your arms like that. Yes, we're seeing that. We're seeing a departure of pain. And Lord, we just glorify you as the healer in Jesus' name. Mighty name. Just affirm that and confess that on a regular basis. It's the confession that voice activates what we're believing in our heart and calling all spiritual blessings down to the practical terra firma of our needs physically, emotionally, what have you. Praise the name of the Lord. I just declare a financial windfall now over a couple of you that are laboring under the assault of poverty. Poverty's not spiritual, neither is greed, but poverty certainly not. We've had some tremendous releases there over the years. And I'm not famous in anybody's region. We're mostly in small to medium churches that we relate to throughout the West, and God has been just wonderfully generous in his ability to take care of us. We've been doing this now for going on 29 years. We were pastoral before that, and in July, to this lovely lady, I will have been married, she and I together, for 49 years in July. I'll just speak the obvious. I'm married above me. It's a wise man that knows that, and wiser yet when he admits it publicly. We've met, it was interesting, the arm, the love of the Lord, there's length of the Lord. He reached across the other side of an ocean to bring together two California kids who lived an hour apart from one another, and they came together in courtship in Copenhagen, Denmark, while on an outreach there. That's just the miraculous hand of the Lord. Gave us just what we needed. He knows how to pick our mate. And it's a three-pronged cord of spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, each one loves Jesus supremely, first and foremost. Soul, not necessarily uniformity, but harmony. You can be who you are with your strengths and weaknesses, be quick to forgive and encourage and quick to appreciate. And finally, the physicality, that's friendship with fire. The Lord wants it to be Song of Solomon romantic and wants us to be able to say after decades, I will delight in the wife of my youth. If it weren't possible, he wouldn't call us to do it. Hallelujah. You know, as an older guy now, and I'll soon be 79 coming up in September, I can say that in retrospect, a woman begins to blossom into her full beauty at about age 50, and it gets more and more so. Just the ability to reflect the countenance of King Jesus Christ. Sure, we got a few more smile wrinkles, and the road map on our face has some marks in it there, but there is a beauty that comes through that is just special through the seasoning of years, and the Lord is not into corporate downsizing or forced early retirement. Hallelujah. Coming back here as we continue. What a sweetheart. How are you doing, darling? Yeah. I think you're going to play guitar one of these days. What's your name, brother?
Jim.
Jim is a storyteller. I mean, he can spin yarns around the Cracker Barrel, the fireplace, or in the throne room. He's had a lot of experiences and has traveled far and wide. You're kind of like...
I used to be shy.
You're kind of like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man, you know? And people glean and gain from those experiences. What's your first name, my sister right here?
Fran.
Fran, a nurturer, a mama, a prayer warrior.
Yes.
Amen.
You're the grandma the devil warned his demons about. They don't stand a chance. Hallelujah. What's your name right here?
Linda.
Linda, to the Spirit you're surrendered and a heart of joy, the ability to impart the joy of the Lord, which is your strength and becomes their strength. You've learned it through some difficult times. You've got some badges of enduring grace that the Lord's handed out. What's your name back here?
Kelly.
Kelly, the ability to love people as is, to look into their hearts and see the potential that the Lord has placed there, and the ability to relate to them with a joyful boldness, and the ability to at times be direct, but lovingly so, but to be wonderfully understanding where people are at and to encourage them with hope of horizons of things getting better.
Amen.
Where's Jimmy Long about now?
He's in the little room. He's raising his hand. He's way back there.
Okay. Let me get around where I can see him here.
He's right in that room.
There's Pastor Jimmy.
Jimmy,
a man who loves God and loves people, and it shows. You have a love for God and a love for people, and it shows. And this big guy here looks like he's going to play on either the defensive or offensive side of the ball eventually with a chest like that. My goodness, and look at those guns already. And Lord, we just declare your blessing over these sweet, special children. Just your nurture, protection as they're growing up and growing in the knowing of you. We thank you for a wonderful church here that is trans-denominational, trans-generational. I know you're Foursquare related, but you relate with other people here and around town. I know Andrew speaks so well of you. And he and I had a blast. We did some jamming in one of the coffee houses during the festival on Friday and pulled some old folk songs out of the hat and sang some old gospel songs, and it was just a good time. You know, we both know some songs that were older than either of us. That's how back in time we go. Let me ask you, and I know I spoke kind of in a blanket thing over the children that came out of the room. Did everybody get some kind of personal encouragement this evening? Who's Anastasia and Evan? Oh, Anastasia and Evan. My goodness, we can't forget them. The Lord bless your union to the max. The Lord protect your finances, and where there's been assaults from budget biters through repairs and this and that and the other, we just speak restoration to that. Anastasia, you just have a marvelous sweet spirit. It's honey. It's not saccharine. It's honey. And my brother, you're a solid guy. The Lord is just compressing you as a rock. A rock of dependability. Excuse me, Nova, I had that too low. And you're getting tall. glory to God. Well, that was my purpose to come here tonight. I'd study that Philemon, Paul's prayer, that the communication of your faith, that is the communication of Christ in you, may become more effectual and impacting through the acknowledgement of every good thing in you in Christ.
Amen.
And every now and then you just need to take a wealth survey, an inventory of all of the good things, the talents, the abilities, the manifold grace that is in you in Christ. Meditate on those things. Rely and embrace his righteousness, the gift of grace, and the empowerment for holy living to reign in life will begin to rise in you. We just need to obey his promptings. And yeah, when we mess up and get off track, he's quick to bring us back as we look to him. And there may be temporary dark nights, but he restores us and cleanses us once again to walk in the light. We're all a work in progress. Jesus is shining through us. And they'll see the debris of our imperfections, but that just lets them know that we are imperfect. And by the way, and Jimmy will remark on this later, but the love offering box back there, if you write out checks to Dick Williams, we see to it that you get a tax-deductible receipt, you know, in whatever form it comes. We just appreciate it. The CDs back there are done on the Serve Yourself system. I keep the price down. They're only $10 each. And I've done songs from them tonight. And I'm going to finish with this particular song. It comes from the album Testimony about a couple whose marriage was revolutionized. It goes like this. John Travers was a brawler, fueled by alcohol. On his day job, he built houses, but he lived to drink and brawl. Now he hung out in a scuzzy bar down on Main and Merle, where the low-life level railed and reveled like there's no tomorrow. If with the eye of your spirit you looked in on the scene, you'd see something so much more than humans wild and mean. Now a team of demons danced on John, parading right through him, just hanging on and swinging like a playground jungle gym. They cackled like a hen house, whiskey flowing like a river, as they licked their chops with demon dreams of cirrhosis of the liver. They roared with wild approval when Johnny busted heads. Hey, they pushed his cussing button, then they laughed at all he said. Ah, but hang on, saints, this story's not quite through. Hallelujah. Hang on, saints, the best is yet to come. Hey, just stay tuned. Now John, he had a praying wife, sweet Cindy, 5'2". 100 pounds of praying power, God had lit her fuse. Kneeling by the bed each night, she prayed with power and tears. A force of angels gathered in that room and hovered near. She came against the stronghold set like bunkers in John's mind. The head angel heard from Jesus, and he gave his troops a sign. Yo, listen up, you warriors. Well, a hell cell just unlocked, and we're flying down to a sleazy lounge to clean some demons' clocks. Yeah. This praying lady's faith is like a wind that fills our wings. Let's fly on down to Main Street. Hey, we got orders from the king. Meanwhile, down in the tavern, the noise had reached a roar when the company of angels ripped right through the walls and doors. Now the demons shrieked in terror as the angels tore into them, sent them screaming out into the night with holy sword holes through them. John, he sat there stony blind to the battle in the spirit. Then he cried out, Jesus, help me, shocked his friends as they did hear it. But hang on, saints, the story's not quite through. Hallelujah. Hang on, saints, the punchline's yet to come. Now John staggered in the night toward home with a terror that he felt. Heard Cindy praying in their room, he cried, beside her knelt. With her arms around each other, he cried out for Jesus Christ. The angels laughed and gave high fives, said, hey, this job is nice. Meanwhile, in hell's headquarters, a mangled troop saluted, said, Sir John Travers flew the coop, once more our kingdom's looted. His 6'4" is ours no more, did all that we could do. But we've been kicked back into hell by a praying 5'2". You Hades hounds, don't you mess around with a Jesus praising, praying 5'2". Ah, she's a praying 5'2". God bless that to your hearts and soul this evening. Pastor Jimmy.
Applause, amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, what we want to do now is, if you want to, you can see the wooden church in the back. We want to be a blessing to our brother. And was this nice? I didn't get to see half of it or hear half of it. I was trying really hard. But I had some kids that were, I was being thrown under the bus. I'm telling the pastor, of this place. I'm just saying. But let's go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you again for your grace, your presence. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you so much. Lord God, we love you and we praise you and thank you for bringing one of your knights, your soldiers. Father, a man with a call and with an anointing and who has submitted his life to serving you, Father, and serving your bride, the church. Lord God, I pray that you would protect them as they go from this place to the next place. Father, for whatever you've called them to, protect them. Father, as we go from this place as well, Lord God, I pray that you would be with us, be with our friends, our family. Father, I pray that you continue to just stir us up to love and good works. Continue to stir us up to be used and prompted and molded and made by your Holy Spirit. We love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you as you go.